This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
It's Black and Abdallah. It's Spring Training here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, and that means Yurko and Black for the next 2 hours.
You know, I'm excited.
Yurko, it's a complete random draw that we have for spring trading, and
somehow
you and I have been paired up again for the second time in 3 weeks together. What do you think about that?
I'm excited to be working with you, my friend.
And I'm really excited, too.
This is one of my favorite times.
Nice.
6 to 8.
Yeah.
In the city. You know, sometimes you got things happening at the Chicago Theater.
Sure.
Sometimes you got things going on at the Nederlander down the street here.
What?
The Nederlander.
Is that
what it's called? Yeah, they changed the name of the
other one. I'm not a theater expert like you are.
Not going to what it used to be called.
Okay.
But it's the Nederlander.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I like the city. I like the city at night.
I like to see it
get back to its pre-pandemic levels.
Sure.
Where the place was jumping and popping and things were happening. And the place was a little bit cleaner. But, you know, hey, what are we going to do, right? You only can take what you have. And we're going to try to take advantage of it. Have a good time.
As a police car just drives up State Street going the wrong way with its lights flashing and the sirens blurring.
It happens. It's
Yurko
the big
city. We are here. It's a Tuesday night. It's spring trading. Black and Yurko in here on Black and Abdallah. And you and I have been paired together a couple of times. I will say this.
It's our third time, by the way, in the last couple of years.
Third time. I know. It's so random how it's all just falling into place.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's almost as if no one will work with me.
So
there we go.
I'll work with you.
But I appreciate you, Yurko, because I know that you listen at night.
Yeah.
We give you the shout outs. You'll text us every once in a while.
You know, we know you're there. I'm a big fan of Zunus.
And tuning into tonight's show.
I've already lost Yurko.
Have you? Okay, well, Jake will get it for you.
No, it's over there. I think it's sitting
right here. It's right next to me.
One of the plates.
Yeah. Yurko will bring you Zunus at some point tonight.
He also
has already selected the song of the night.
Of course I did.
So you have a Yurko song of the night. You have some Yurko Zunus. Lots to get to. And if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776.
And if you don't mind if I add this, my first song of the night was rejected. A little bit long, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Greg McMurtry,
yes.
Choctaw Bingo, rejected the story of a young man and his family going from Texas to Oklahoma to get some crystal meth. Rejected for some crazy reason, but either way, it was too long, and we've opted for another song of the night.
Yeah, so there's very few rules to the song of the night.
Just can't be 8 minutes long.
Yeah, we try to stay away from the longer songs because it kind of the whole concept is we talk about it and we listen to it.
Yeah.
So doing an 8 minute song for the song of the night is a little tough, in my opinion. So we stay away from that. We also don't feature Michael Jackson. Yeah, I mean, you could find a reason almost every single day to feature a Michael Jackson song.
Sure.
Then two, some things that off the court, not great. With Michael Jackson, right? So that's one. And then we don't repeat songs.
No repetition of songs.
Basically the loose rules.
Well, that's not a bad. Can't be long. No Michael Jackson, the king of pop.
Yeah, and we don't repeat.
And no repeats.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless I understand.
I got the rules now.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't know before I picked the song.
No,
I
mean, it's fine.
It's not like I picked Grateful Dead's Terrapin song, 16 Minutes of Magic.
If you would have selected something that was like an absolute no, I would have told you. But
right away, you'd have said, no, we're not going to do
this. My response was, well, that's a little long. You got something else you want to do?
I mean, I could have done Rammstein, you know.
You could have.
Du hast.
Yes.
Du hast.
That's absolutely a song you could have done.
You got to love that, too.
If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. I see D in Park Forest waiting. D has a question for us. What's up, D?
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening, D?
What do you got?
Nothing much, man. I was on for a while from the earlier show about the face rag conversation.
Yes,
but I can give you a little my opinion on it if you all don't mind.
Please do.
All right. So what I think we have here possibly is a two cultures, two Americas type thing. Because me as an African American, I grew up with face cloths, and all the people that I grew up around from the South Side, we use face cloths.
Okay,
and I think. That's kind of the thing we have going on with some of the guys. Now, I can't speak for Cap, that's a culture I'm not, you know, the Jewish culture I'm not
right.
Intertwined in, but that's where it's stemming from. So they were asking, like, hey, how do you wash your face? Well, two ways to do it. You wash your face first. You wash your body, use a washcloth, so you can get all the extra dirt, dust off your body. You got to scrub your undercarriage, as they say.
Yes.
And, you let the water rinse all of the soap off of your body. Then you rinse your face cloth off, and then you hang it up, you know, keep it a day or two, or throw it immediately in the hamper, or how you do it. That's how I was raised by my mom, my grandmother, and the community that I was around. Because even when, you know, you have sleepovers, the first thing the mom does when you have a sleepover, she hands either me or my friend or vice versa, she hands you a towel and a face rag. That's just how we do. Now, when I got to college, I noticed that some other cultures don't do the face rag, which I right. thought was very intriguing.
Where's
you
the
can
towel?
Even go
Where's
on
the
YouTube
towel?
Now, where, yeah. where it's a huge thing now, where you can go Google the face rag thing on YouTube, and you'll get videos about cultural uses on what cultures use face rags, what don't, how the surprise and change is different. They even put it on the show The Neighbors on CBS, while that was a issue for an episode. So.
Sure. All right, we got you down.
Hold on. What college did you go to, D?
I went to a small school called Upper Iowa University. It was a Division II school up in northeast Iowa.
I got you. Listen, Loris is out there, University of Dubuque, a lot of nice colleges out there. Coe College, one of the first letters I ever got was a chance to maybe go to Coe College when I was a sophomore in high school. So, yeah, we know where you're at.
We played Coe, we played Dubuque. Uh-huh. I know you're not going to remember this because you meet a lot of people. I came out to Bourbonnais just before my kids were born, so almost 10 years ago, and you signed a card for me when you was with the Jags. And what I appreciate about you, man, you're really personable, and you actually broke down what you were doing on that card. You said it was a preseason game. You gave me the whole story.
Against St. Louis.
Really appreciate you for that, man.
No problem. No problem, D. Yeah,
it's you'll have a great show.
It's an upper deck card. Upper deck card. On the back of it, I remember from where it was, and I was pointing.
Yeah.
And so anytime St. Louis would come out and they'd have switchbacks, which means the fullback was away from the tight end, that was one of their draw keys. So you knew they were going to run a draw on that play.
And you wrote that on the autograph?
No.
You wrote that on the card?
No.
You just told him when...
I broke it down with D. I looked at the card, and I think the other card is me and Stepnoski's face.
Sure.
I don't know if that's the same card. Might be a different card. One was with me and Stepnoski's face on the back, and maybe me yelling in Oakland Alameda County Stadium after I tripped up Napoleon Kaufman.
Right.
Yeah, I just forget. I got a lot of cards that were out there.
That's
and I forget
awesome.
What's on the front, what's on the back. But I remember that when I saw it, I go, oh, I know what the hell that's. You know, sometimes you just know.
Right. You know exactly what that was.
Exactly
you're at. I know it was a conversation that Sylvie and Carmen were having earlier. But
the washcloth.
I don't.
I never use washcloths.
I've never used a washcloth.
My mom and dad never had a washcloth.
I'll take it a step farther. Maybe, and you can comment on whether or not it's right, wrong, unhealthy. I don't wash my face unless it's in a shower. I don't wash my face before I go to bed. Like, I only wash my face when I am showering. That's the only time. Thus, I don't think I would need a washcloth.
I'll wash my hands if I'm handling money. A lot of money, I'll wash my hands. Face, if I play golf, I'll come in, I'll go to the bathroom, I'll wash my hands, and I'll wash my face. Because whether you believe it or not, at the course.
Okay, yeah, I can
see
that.
I'll go in the restroom, and I'll wash my face because I know there's grit and sand and such up there, and that's when I'll wash it. But after that...
No.
No, not really.
Not before bed, right?
Never wash before bed.
Yeah,
never.
I've
taken a shower before bed after a long day where I feel a little grimy.
That's different.
And a little swampy down low.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You got to, right?
Sometimes, it's too hot outside. You know what's happening. You know, you gotta take a shower.
Sure.
If you're going to be fresh.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to wake up in the morning. You're gonna uncross your legs. You're going to roll over in bed. You're going to get hit with the stench. And you don't want that. I don't need a stench in the morning when I wake up.
Let me put this scenario out there.
Right.
You wake up early. You're not planning on showering to get ready for the day yet, but you have to run out. Say you're going to the Home Depot. You're going to get coffee.
Maybe.
Are you washing your face before you leave the house?
No.
Neither am I.
No.
I'm just leaving.
I'm getting up. I'm getting dressed. I'm getting in the car. I'm going to Strachan Van Til.
Yeah.
Picking up probably $50 worth of groceries, which was today's and eggs, maybe a gallon of milk. and maybe some honey. And that's it. $50 worth of groceries.
Inflation,
right there.
And you get three products. I know. It's tough.
What's going on here?
It's tough.
What's going on?
But yeah, I'm not a face washing person.
Only after golf. When I know it's grimy, I do wash it.
Yeah, but that's not like an everyday.
No, it's not an everyday.
Habit, right?
No.
Jordan in Maryville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jordan?
Yes. Thank you.
Jordan, what's up?
Jordan, hello.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Sorry,
man?
I was ordering some food. Apologize about that.
What'd you get?
He's at Portillo's.
No, I'm at Highland Gyros, right on Quarter Star Bar.
All right.
Yeah. Nice. I know you know about that place.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Of course, of course. Hey, you know, so me personally, I'm a loofah and washcloth guy.
Oh,
you
know,
I use the washcloth for the face, the loofah for the body, and this is the twist. I have another towel for the backside area. So I'm a three banger guy. Ooh. Guys, I don't want to intertwine. I don't want to be washing my face while I'm washing my backside with the same towel. It's kind of nasty. You gotta intertwine it, fellas. Intertwine
it. Is it pattern coated then? Do you have different patterns on each washcloth so you know that one is for the face, one is for the backside? Are they once washed interchangeable, or do they have one job and one job only?
They have one job and one job only. I know I have one. You have like the caddy inside of the shower, so I have one.
Right, sure.
I know the one at the top is for the face. The one at the bottom is for the bottom. So, I don't have a problem.
Separation.
I'm not going to be, intertwining my towels. So.
I've got you. I understand that. Yeah, 100% correcto there.
Thanks for the call, Jordan.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah, never use a loofah either.
Do you know what my problem is? Flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can get a loofah, but then I'm trying to get up over the arm. I got shoulder issues. I got all types of things. Can't straighten my arms. Both of my elbows have been hyperextended too much. I got 11 and 7 degrees of loss. So I need a loofah wall.
Right.
You know?
So you could rub your back up against
a running loofah wall where, like, it'll come out, I can scrub on it, and then it disappears, and it just roll up with the new loofah wall the next time I come out. That should be something I invent.
It is.
A loofah wall.
That is exactly something I want to see you on
Shark
Tank.
Soap it up.
That.
Get in there. Yeah. Loofah wall.
Yeah, you
loofah
just.
Loofah wall. Yeah.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
Yurko, in minutes, the World Baseball Classic Championship game will start. The USA and Japan. Japan has won twice in the World Baseball Classic. They won in 2006 and 2009. The U.S. team, they won in 2017. So two teams, two countries that have been very successful in this competition. I've enjoyed the World Baseball Classic.
Is this played like every third year?
It's supposed to be every four, but because of COVID, it got pushed. So now they're making up for it. It should have happened already, so we're kind of truncated.
I'm excited.
The next one will be in 2026.
I mean, do they, on their jerseys, have like two stars to denote the fact that they've got two world...
I don't know.
Two WBCs?
That's a good question.
Shouldn't we find out if these countries won that many? What's the... What denotes the fact that they're former champions, WBC champions?
They should, because that's what they do in soccer with the World Cup.
I think if they're going to steal from soccer,
I would hope
let's do it the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, but
let's put some stars up there.
Listen, you and I were talking before the show. You don't seem as enthused for tonight's matchup between the USA and Japan. I've enjoyed the World Baseball Classic just because of this sole idea. The idea is this.
Right.
To me, baseball does get boring, but when there are stakes involved... And there's competitive situations where things matter. Baseball is a great sport, and I love watching it. So if you get a tournament situation in baseball, that to me is great. That's why I like the playoffs. That's why I like when games matter. But when you get into the middle of August and teams are out of it and they are just throwing out their guys who are not going to be on the team next year, that to me is a tune-out when you come to baseball. This tonight,
must watch for you.
It's interesting.
Well,
I'll give it that.
Anytime you put two baseball titans like the U.S. and Japan together,
Well, clearly it's two countries that care about it.
I mean,
they've won before.
How can you not watch?
Right.
I mean,
this is a big matchup.
Such history.
Shohei Ohtani on one side, Mike Trout on the other side.
Storied programs.
You really can't get into it at all.
I'm going to watch it because it's on.
Because you're here.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Bulls game last night because it was on.
It was on.
Yeah. So I watched the fourth quarter, the first overtime, the second overtime.
The Bulls were competitive in that situation.
The first overtime where it looked like Zach LaVine was just firing little darts with his eyes at DeRozan for taking that three-pointer with a guy
alpha
with a
dog hand darts. In his face.
Yeah, alpha
dog darts. I'm the guy. I get paid most, but you're taking all the shots, darts.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've seen those.
With Zach LaVine with his Amish beard. Not quite there.
It's not the James Harden?
No. Harden's got himself one hell of a beard,
Not a lot of game last night, though,
for looks like a poorly constructed cotton candy.
So you can't get into the World Baseball Classic?
I'm going to get into it only because it's on and I'm here with you and it's going to be on the screen and I'm going to watch it.
But this is what baseball needs. They need more important competitions.
The World Series is different than the World Baseball Classic. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
It's different. Yeah. It matters. It means something. In a sport that hasn't really provided you anything anything other than what you get with MLB baseball, do you really care about it? Maybe 50 years from now, when you've got a historic past,
right,
and you denote the fact that you might have been a champion in this thing before, and maybe it becomes bigger, and maybe you got more representation from more countries where baseball is being played, maybe then you've got something cooking, and you're cooking with gas.
Well, everything has to start from somewhere.
I understand. Like, that's why I'm saying 50 years from now,
nothing
it might
ever
mean
has
something.
History when it first starts.
Exactly.
But I do think for the lack of a long storied history, I do feel like there are people that find this pretty interesting and entertaining, and they get involved. I think, you know, that's the other thing with baseball right now. You look at the season, we're, 9 days away from the start of the year? And we have the conversations when it happens. Opening day is a big deal. And then the day after opening day goes back to ho-hum.
Nobody's in the stands.
Nobody's in the stands.
Nobody's
cold
in the
weather.
Stands. Go to that 1 o'clock game here at U.S. Cellular and how many people are there.
Go
to the 3 o'clock game over here at Wrigley Field and see what's going on. Yeah.
Right, but
go to
it's
the first night game in April and see what that feels
waiting.
Like.
It's waiting for the rest of the year to kind of take place. Where this has some immediacy.
And the worst part about the start of the Major League Baseball season is because you are playing in chilly climates and chilly temperatures. It's the perfect time to get other teams in here and take advantage of the fact that you'd be comfortable here and get yourself a little bit of a cushion. If you could find a way to be 15-8 after 23, which is about what you're going to play in the month of April with rainouts and everything else that you've got.
Yeah.
If you could find a way to get a little bit of a cushion and just play 500 baseball the rest of the way, guess what? In the divisions they play in, that might not be all that bad to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's possible.
If you're average the rest of the way out, if in your first 23 you can go 15-8.
Well, you know what happens, though, at the start of a season, though? Usually we get a case of the sleepy bats.
Oh.
They're quiet and sleepy.
Dormant.
Taking naps.
Dormant like the cicadas. Dormant like the cicadas until midsummer.
So we have to wait for them to heat up and wake up.
Before they make some noise.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you make a good point. I just like...
I mean,
I
wish I could get excited for it. I'm more excited to watch Champions League soccer. Honest to heavens. Champions League soccer is much more exciting than watching a team that doesn't have the best pitching talent out there. It doesn't. It's not an all-star team of pitchers. For the United States, are they? No.
I will never disagree with you on that.
Thank you.
I find European soccer, world soccer, to be extremely fascinating.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of it. We talk almost none of it on the air.
None of it.
But it's just something I enjoy to watch.
Right.
I like the geometry of it. I like the passing. I like the thought behind trying to figure out how you could score a goal.
The skill.
I like all of it. It's just not something that we do on the air a lot.
In the Unidos Estados.
Yeah, well, all of it. I find all of it. EPL, I find Champions League, I find
it all.
The competitions for the FA Cup, Carabao Cup, all the different trophies that you could play for. I find it interesting. I like it. I also like watching the men's national team, the women's national team here in the U.S. too. Did you know at the moment that there is a... Copa Cabana, or was it called Copa America?
At the Copa.
No, there's a
Copa Cabana.
There's a CONCACAF,
the hottest spot.
Champions League going on.
Did
you know this?
I did not.
There's a CONCACAF Yes, right now. There's like three teams from the MLS in it.
So you're saying, okay, the
CONCACAF started their own Champions League.
Interesting.
It was on FS2, I think, last week. And there are three teams from the MLS that are involved. There's a bunch of teams from like Mexico, from all different
Costa
places
Rica,
in CONCACAF, right?
From Honduras.
Correct. And
Panama,
I'm watching this. No, listen, Yurik.
Belize.
The crispness of the passes and the skill of play is not the same. But I was still watching it.
I found it interesting.
Yeah. And I like that at least they're trying to do something. But I think the same goes for the World Baseball Classic.
Was there a Galazzo?
I don't know.
A super goal? You didn't stay long enough to see a goal?
No.
Okay. All right.
It was slow.
That happens. Can you help me with some of the players on the Japanese team? I know Shohei is there.
Isn't Yu Darvish on the team?
Yu Darvish would be on the team. I mean, how many other Major League Baseball players?
I have not watched.
Or is it a ton of guys that play in Japan?
The only game that I watched was on Saturday night, the U.S. game, when they Trey Turner hit the Grand Slam. I was watching when that took place.
I would only guess that every eligible Japanese player that plays in Major League Baseball would probably want to play in this.
Jesse Rogers was on earlier with Carmen and Sylvie saying that the country, they mandated that their players played in this. Because that's what it means to them.
Right, to them it does, yes.
But I do think that the Americans that are there for the U.S., they care a damn lot. They care a lot, too.
The guys that are there care.
Yeah, for sure.
I get you.
RW in Irving Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, pleasure to be on the show, gentlemen.
Yurko,
huge fan. I listen to you every day, but I'm working, so I can't ask questions. But I wanted to ask you this question for a long, long time.
Sure.
I'm going to be 60 years old in May, but I played high school football for a couple years. Some of my most vivid memories are from plays on the football field. Like, I played slot receiver. I can still remember going over the middle and getting hammered and, hanging on to the ball. And
where'd you go to high school?
Gillette, Wisconsin.
Oh, jeez, boy.
Yeah. You know Gillette? That's near Green Bay.
No, it's got to be a little bit north.
Yes, north, take 29 to 32. You know where Shawano is?
Yeah, I've been to Shawano.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little bit off there.
I got you. So your best memories are football memories.
Not best memories, I would say most vivid memories.
Right.
Like, I can remember that play better than when my two kids were born. You know, it's crazy.
Right,
but
right.
My question is, is every one of those memories involved either me giving somebody a big hit or taking a big hit? So, you're the Renaissance man, you know all this stuff. Is that like the brain, the adrenaline in your brain triggering that, or what do you think that is?
Well, that could be. I mean, a way that you feel, something that reminds you of something, you get a little bit of bump and then it takes you back to something you may have done. For me, it wasn't necessarily, it was big plays that you made. If you made a big play, you made a big stop, something like that, that's what I remember. Those are the times. Or something that we did as a collective group. Against an individual. I never won the Super Bowl, never played in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So just some of those wins on our way to be, getting a chance to compete in championship games. Some of those things are memorable. I had 2.5 sacks against the Raiders. All these guys know. They've probably seen every single ounce of footage that I ever had. You get 2.5 out of 9.5 sacks in one game. I had a day. Have a day, you remember that day.
Do you remember plays like in high school still?
Well, I remember some plays, like when I was a freshman playing up on sophomores, we were playing Tinley Park, and I beat the lineman, and I got such a good crack on the quarterback and sent him to the ground, careening to the ground. The ball was incomplete. Yeah. I remember that because it's a freshman, you're playing up on sophomores.
Right.
That's the thing. In college, my first game was against Kansas, and the first play I was involved in was a fake punt. And I had to turn up in the hole, and I had to block Willie Pless, the All-American linebacker from Kansas. So I remember that. My first defensive play, I forced a fumble. Those kind of things you remember. Then I had a sack in that game, and I came to the sideline, and my man from a junior college out in California, his name was Darryl Walls. And I come to the sideline, he hunts me up, and he finds me, and he starts giving me five, and he said, "You kid?" He goes, "You're a baller." I said, all right. I appreciate that. You know, you feel like you belong when you do something productive. But yeah, but there's things over the course of a lifetime you remember, but there's also some bad stuff you did that you forget real well and you put deep down in the trenches. Never want to remember that stuff again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Thanks, all right, RW. Man. Appreciate the phone call.
All right.
There goes RW in Irving Park. Travis in Arkansas listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Travis, you have a question for Yurko?
I do. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man? Travis?
Hey, I called the Bucket of Dallas show a lot, but you know, I work at Amazon in the daytime, so I haven't called in as much as Yurko. But I got a question for you, Yurko.
Yeah.
I want to know who you have maybe targeted for that number 9 pick. Is it out of the defensive ends or the defensive tackles? And then I also want your take on why the hell Ryan Poles ain't spending some freaking money. Draymond Jones got a very reasonable contract. It seems like he could help our football team because it was pretty freaking bad last year.
Yeah, the pass rush for the Bears last year was pitiful, 20 sacks. Of those, I believe only about 9 came from the defensive line. I think your leading tackle was your leading sacker last year was your safety with 4.
Right.
I think it was Brisker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Either Brisker or Gordon, the young rookie.
It wasn't a lot.
Was the leader. Yeah. He has thrown money around. He has paid people money. I don't necessarily agree maybe in all the directions that they've gone, but I've got a draft, and I think they're going to take the big kid from Ohio State.
Yurko's here. Tackle. It's spring trading. Paris Johnson Jr. That's the offensive tackle from Ohio State. Yurko's here with Black. Black and Yurko. It's spring trading on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Yurko's hanging out today. It's Spring Trading. Abdallah's on in the morning earlier today with David Kaplan. Yerk's here tonight, spring trading on ESPN 1000. We mix it all up. The hosts, it's completely random, Yurko. The random draw. You and I, back
you
together
and I,
again.
Back to back.
But you know how it goes, Yurko. At night, we take calls at 312-332-3776. And that's where we find Brent in the Ukrainian village. What's up, Brent?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yurko, big fan, longtime listener. Love how you tell it like it is in this city, not afraid to criticize all Bears players and Bears management, etc. But what I want to know, Yerk, 10-year NFL career, who is the best offensive lineman you ever went up against? Who's the best running back you ever tried to tackle? And who's the best quarterback you ever tried to sack?
All right, so we'll go with the offensive lineman first. Best center I've ever played against is Dermonti Dawson, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Guy was quick, could reach 3 techniques, outside guards. That's how fast he was. One hell of a player. A little bit light in the ass, which cost him at time, but overall it didn't make a difference. He was that good, and his technique was that solid where he was pretty good. But every once in a while you get pushed back, and we'd find a way to stop Bettis one way or the other. Left guard, Randall McDaniel, number 64, Arizona State. Was a stud, just a stud. Had a goofy-looking stance. It was best if he was disinterested in the game because you had a little bit of a chance.
Right.
But he was another one of those guys that ran like a 4.740.
When he was engaged, fast. You couldn't get past him.
When he was interested in what was happening in the game, tougher than nails. I once drew 3 offensive holding calls against him.
That's
in a game
good.
In Milwaukee. 3 offensive holding penalties. So I've got that going for us. But they still beat us. Right guard was Larry Allen. Proud to say I made Larry Allen's Hall of Fame footage. But he wasn't blowing me out of the water. We were engaged, and it was a good shot of him and his technique that he was utilizing. So Larry Allen would be the right guard. Best quarterback I played against or played with was Marino. Danny Marino. He was a stud. He was a man's man. That's what he was. He was tougher than nails. So I would say it was Marino. I mean, obviously I played with Favre. You know,
it's pretty good.
That's a 1-2. Nobody's really going to cry. I mean, that's pretty solid right there. Went to a camp with Kurt Warner. He's a Hall of Famer, but at the time, you didn't know what he was capable of, but eventually he became capable of something very special.
And then running back. That was the third.
Running Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders. It's not even remotely close.
There
guys.
You go, Brent.
Barry Sanders was the best of best. Barry Sanders, if he ran behind Dallas Cowboys offensive line, would have rushed for 2,000 yards every year.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, he was great.
Hands down.
He was so much better than Emmitt Smith.
Yes. Well, I think
he was better. As a kid, being a fan of the NFL, I thought it was Barry Sanders. He was the best.
Emmitt had his own skill, but he wasn't Barry Sanders.
Thanks for the call, Brent.
Appreciate it. Have a good night, fellas.
Look up a highlight film of Barry Sanders.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean, he made so many people miss. He made people look like fools. I mean, John Lynch, if you based the Hall of Fame and getting there just on that film, John Lynch would never be a Hall of Famer. He made him miss so many times, it was unbelievable.
You listed off Brett Favre and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
As far as game planning for a quarterback, who's the toughest to game plan for? Because you were teammates, and these are guys that you saw. But as far as the game plan goes.
Toughest to play against is different than toughest to game plan against. Game planning against Randall Cunningham was always tough. Because you game plan against the guy, you got everything shut down, and all of a sudden he decides to take off and he's gone.
Yeah.
So that's tough to game plan for. You know what I'm saying? But the toughest quarterback to play against is that guy that can make that miraculous throw out of nowhere. So Elway would be a guy that comes to mind, toughest guy to kind of game to play against. Playing against him was a nightmare because he could fit that. He can fit a ball in where you think there's no way in the world he's going to fit a ball in, and he does. And then he had the receivers. He had Shannon Sharp. He had McCaffrey. He had Rod Smith. I mean, he had a pretty good group of receivers that he could count on. So I'd say Elway probably.
So does it surprise you at all that the way football has progressed, the evolution of the position at quarterback, that obviously a dual threat quarterback who has the ability to run has become the way you play? Well, and that's like the best skill set you can find because you know, think back to when you were playing, that was the most challenging to prep for. Is it a surprise that that's how the position has formed throughout the years, that a guy who can run plus be able to throw with his arm is absolutely the most dangerous type of quarterback to face?
It's not a surprise. And because the NFL is dependent upon the college to produce their players, when the collegiate level went to that because it was easier, you know, you put the signals up, you put the four pictures up, and all of a sudden you got your play.
Yeah, everyone's stand in place, and we're just going to go.
And because it wasn't as complicated as the old school systems that guys want to run, but quarterbacks really didn't run great systems back in the day. There was only one or two quarterbacks that really understood what the hell was going on. And then when Peyton came in there, then there was a mastery of what he was doing because him and Tom Moore were simpatico and they could figure out everything that was going on. But because the colleges went with something that said, hey, we're bringing in an 18-year-old freshman. He might be our best player. He might be our best quarterback. We can't overload him with information. So let's go with something that we can run the offenses that they came up with.
Spread.
Yeah, the spread offense. Who's the guy from Oregon? Chip Morris.
Yeah, Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly. Yeah, Chip Kelly. That's his name.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly. And then when those were the quarterbacks that were coming out and the quarterbacks you have to choose from, then you got to start thinking in your mind, all right, I can't take a kid that's been developing for 3 years in an offense and ask him to do something he's not done at all in the last 3 years. Let's see if I can get him to do a little something of what he hasn't done, but let's make him comfortable and let's get him situated. And not that it's revolutionized offenses. It's put an emphasis on something different, but it also makes it much more tenuous. I mean, quarterbacks always got hurt, but it makes your quarterback situation a little bit more not on a solid foundation, because if your guy gets hurt, now you've got that offense for that individual. Do I have this another individual that can run the offense exactly the way he runs it?
You know, looking back through the history of college football, it was always something where quarterbacks ran the football. It's just, I feel as if you go back to Vince Young at Texas, that really started to break the mold of a passing quarterback who could run, who's then breaking the back of your defense because he's choosing not to pass as he drops back to then run the football. Because, like, if we go back the generation before, what was it, Tommy Frazier with Nebraska, the triple option?
Right.
Those are planned runs. Or even Tim Tebow, planned runs. Right. But it really felt like Vince Young. Or
the run jump pass into the end zone to the tight end.
It felt like Vince Young's ability to step back, throw it, or say, nah, I'm leaving, I'm going to run. That's what really started to change.
So I'm going to go old school on you first. I'm going to go Fran Tarkington was a scrambling quarterback that had the ability to run. And if he had to, he'd try to beat you with his feet. But he was more likely to throw the ball off a scramble than he was to gain positive yardage. Bobby Douglas, because Bobby Douglas wasn't a great quarterback, but Bobby Douglas was smart enough to go, okay, I need positive yardage on a lot of plays. Bobby Douglas was always willing to tuck it and find positive yardage. Positive yardage is always better than negative yardage.
Sure.
And throwing an incomplete pass is better than taking a sack. You know? So Bobby Douglas' mind was, it wasn't there, in simplistic offenses back in those times. Two wide receivers and a tight end, three-man routes with a running back running a flare late. That was the complexities of the offense. You know? You watch Dallas, and you just guys go run down the field.
Run.
Raiders back just in the day. Run down the field. It wasn't like any of the quarterbacks were you know some sort of mental maestros back in the day.
With the Steelers, with Lynn Swann just running straight
down
the field.
You got a guy running a deep end, and maybe the tight end clearing the guys out. It nothing complicated. No
throwing straight up in the air. Hope someone catches it.
When Miles Davis started throwing four wide receiver sets out there, people thought he was a lunatic. Lindy Infante started throwing four wide receiver sets and doing reads at the line, and side adjustments and stuff like that. They thought he was a lunatic. And it worked for a year or two, and then all of a sudden everybody caught up with it, and they knew exactly what he was going to do. So they showed him a look, they made him adjust, and then they played what they adjusted to. So it's always a little bit of a cat and mouse game going on between offenses and defenses. But you're right.
But I do.
When things started to happen that way,
In college football, it really started to turn where
Jamarcus Russell was after Vince Young, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Jamarcus Michael Vick.
Well, Cam Newton as well.
Hold on, though.
Cam Newton was incredible at Auburn.
Right. Michael Vick and Cam Newton. Michael Vick was phenomenal.
Yeah. Michael Vick.
And Michael Vick had a gun.
He did. I feel like Michael Vick was more of a passer who was scrambling to avoid the sack than
rather than the system that was created in college.
Yeah, like Cam Newton had designed runs, and that's what was so impactful as far as him as a quarterback who's able to just turn into an offensive weapon.
Run pass option.
Yeah,
the RPO came in a little bit after that.
Yeah, I don't think Vick was much of a I'm running first type of guy. What I remember watching Vic was it was always like scrambling. He was incredible.
What was the other offense that came in where Ronnie Brown was running back down to Miami, I believe.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
Wildcat. Yes.
Yeah, then you had the Wildcat for a little bit.
Right.
But then the Wildcat was like, we're not going to run with the Wildcat.
No,
Wildcat,
that's not going to work.
For a year or two, but we're not doing the Wildcat. But, hey, at least now you've got, and again, it's still in this league, though. You've got to have the ability to throw to be able to come back in a football game because you're not going to be ahead of all the time.
Hands
down. You've got to be. And, as much of a great running game as Tennessee has had, Tennessee has only been so good, and they've only been able to get so far because once they lose the lead, they're no good. And once they stack the box, when you have a lead and they stack the box and you've got to kick the ball away again because you can't run against eight men in the box. You can't do it. You're asking to do something that's not possible.
Right.
Because they've got an extra guy there that's going to tackle your running back.
Yeah, you're
and
done.
As long as you got a sure tackling team, it's over.
Yeah. Yurko is here. It's Bleck and Yurko tonight on Spring Trading. And guess what? We have a special treat. Yurko has selected the song of the night. You'll hear it next.
Chicago's home for sports. Bleck and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do.
I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Baseball Classic Championship game. It's 1-0 USA, top of two. Trey Turner hits another solo home run So the U.S. is up 1-0 on Japan, top of two. And we're loosely talking about it, Yurko, because I think it's pretty cool that people are excited for it. And Yurko's in today. It's spring trading. Black and Yurko here at night. Completely random draw. Yurko and I get paired up again. For the third time in the spring trading.
Of it all.
It's just so wild. How
I mean, we could really
there's so many different pairings, right, and somehow it just keeps the wheel
we
keeps
could
falling
do
on the
it.
Same.
I mean, to figure out exactly how it works, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way. The permutations and combinations.
Sure.
You
yes.
multiply. How many guys are there?
Eight.
Eight. So you'll 8 times 7.
Yes.
Over 2.
Over 2.
Right. 8 times 7 over 2.
And what do you get?
And that's you'd get a number. So 8 times 7 is what? 56 divided by 2 is 28.
Sure.
So you got 28 different opportunities
okay. And
combinations now. Then you do it again, and yeah. It's 28 different combinations again this time.
Okay.
So it would be 2 out of 56. And then you get
true
a percentage.
True combinations.
Right. So it'd be like a 3% chance that you and I would get to work with each other 2 weeks in a row.
Is that what we're working off of, though? A true number? Is that
well,
what? I'm assuming it's a true number? You're saying that
know.
That's a slim possibility that we got a 3% chance?
If it wasn't a true number and say there were things were different, then that top number of 8 and 7 would lower, say, to 5 and 4.
Oh.
Divided by 2.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? And then it would be 10, and then 10 over 2, and it would be like more like the 10% chance.
Okay,
or
yeah.
No, 22,
yeah.
Or more like a 20, 30% chance of it happening.
It was just penciled in, Black and Yurko.
I need a pen and a paper if I'm going to do this math.
You're one of the rare ones that would be willing to work the night show with me.
I love the night show.
So do I. It's a great time.
I love this time.
We have fantastic callers. It's a great time that we have here.
As they say, the freaks come out at night.
Of course.
Which is what we love.
It's what we do.
The freaks come out at night. Yeah, the freaks come out at night.
Yurko has a song of the night. We'll give it to you in just a moment here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Tio and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tio?
Hey, Chris and Jerko, how are you doing?
We're good. What's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, Jerko, I have to say hi. I always listen to you in the morning, but I never call. So I just want to say hi. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tio.
So, you were talking about soccer earlier.
Yeah.
I'm a big soccer fan. I just want to know, you guys know that, like, the next couple of years, we got big tournaments coming in the U.S. And this summer, we got, like, the Women's World Cup. You got the Gold Cup. And then next year, we got Copa America coming to the U.S. And then 2025, got the Gold Cup again. And then the World Cup. I don't know, you guys excited for that?
Well, of course, I'm excited. Of course I'm excited. I love it. You know, and then because the three countries are hosting together, Mexico,
yes.
United States, and Canada have all
Cup.
Automatically qualified in a 48-team tournament.
Yes.
So it's the first time we'll be employing
field.
A 48-team tournament.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to get Haaland in the World Cup somehow.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? Otherwise,
he's been a monster this season.
We all know he's never going to make it.
No.
With his home country.
Right. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Out of Europe, it's tough to qualify.
He's going to break Messi's record of like games within a calendar year or something like that.
He is by far the best player in soccer this season. He's been incredible. He had another, what, hat trick over the weekend, I believe?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. He scored so many goals.
He definitely had two. Yeah. I know that. I saw two of them.
He got an FA Cup. He scored three
FA
goals.
Cup game.
And then
right on
five
Saturday.
The other day.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah. Okay, man. Thanks for giving
Thank
my call.
You.
Thanks for the call, Tio. There you go. This is Tio and Elgin. He calls all the time. He's a big soccer fan, Yurk.
CONCACAF will have 6 teams in the Copa America in 2024, and CONMEBOL has 10 teams. Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, Peru, Uruguay, and Venezuela. And then CONCACAF, our guys will have 6 teams in there, and that'll be the 16-team tournament in Copa America.
Each night around 6:50, we play for you the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song, we go to Toby Keith, Weed with Willie, from 2003. It's your song of the night.
I always heard that his herb was top shelf. And Lord, I just could not wait to find out for myself.
Well, don't knock it till you tried it. And I've tried it, my friend. I'll never smoke weed with Willie again.
Now, since weed is legal in Illinois now, that's why I thought we'd play this thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Because for a long time, it wasn't legal here in Illinois.
We learned soak it in for a minute. In a small Texas on a beautiful town. Tuesday.
He fired up a fat boy and he passed it around.
Last words I spoke before they tucked me in.
I may discount bungee jump, but I'll never smoke weed with Willie again. I'll never smoke weed with Willie again. My party's all over before it began. Now you can pour me some old whiskey river, my friend, but I'll never smoke weed with Willie again.
So, Toby Keith, Yurko's selection, Weed with Willie. Yurko, how did we get to the song, besides it being legal now in the state of Illinois?
I was thinking about a handful of songs on this album, specifically Shocking Y'all.
Yeah.
Whiskey Girl is on this album, and it's absolutely fantastic. But I think it's truly a tribute to Illinois and its ever-revenue-producing ideas that they have. And the fact that it's legal to smoke weed now. That, you know, people that have smoked weed will tell you, you know, Weed with Willie, it's a mistake.
Well, yeah.
Even Snoop Dogg said it was a mistake to smoke weed with Willie.
Yurko, would it surprise you? I've never smoked.
It surprised me as a youngster, yes, that you did not smoke.
I did spend 6 years living with someone who smoked a lot. So the second-hand high is definitely something I've experienced.
High, you're very familiar
100%.
With?
I don't know. You maybe have run familiar? Into the individual that
with
I lived
this
with.
Individual in question?
For the 6 years when we lived in an apartment, a dumpy apartment in Lakeview.
Does he have a handicapped?
Yeah. Does he have a? Yes.
Not
Adam
him.
Abdallah.
Not him himself.
Yeah. No.
No. You've talked about it.
Yes. He would smoke a lot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You'd be smelling smoke.
Oh yeah. And, you know, our apartment sucked. So like my door like wouldn't really shut. You know what? It's one of those things where like I had a door, but you had to push something up against it to keep it closed.
Right. Oh no. I know.
Those are the days.
Those apartments, you know, got 12 layers of paint.
Yeah, it does. Yes. A great
contact high. They sealed in like all the lead layers, so the lead can't get to you.
You hope. Again, my part is all over before it began. And you can pour me some old whiskey river, my friend.
But I'll never smoke weed with Willie. And I'm telling you, when Snoop Dogg says he won't smoke weed with Willie, you know that's right.
Take his advice. Toby Keith, Weed with Willie. It's a Yurko pick. It's your song of the night.
In the fetal position, with drool on our chin,
we broke down and smoked weed with Willie again.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Chicago's home for sports on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000. This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.